you guys. It's Undies Girls. It's episode 604-ish. And I just took a delightful, delightful trip to Salt Lake. This is the reward that we get for sitting through New York, which is one of those things that I really can't think about that much. Otherwise, I start to get like a little bit frustrated. So I'm not going to do that. But I do have to note, someone shared a post, and I apologize because I don't remember who shared it or who wrote it on Instagram, but it was something along the lines of like, if you are missing OG New York, look no further than Salt Lake City. And I have to agree. There is something about this energy, the chaos, the enthusiasm, the drama, but often with like a humorous bent, the shrieking that does give me New York energy. I mean, all the better. I just watched the two most recent episodes to have a Mob Wives style anniversary party that ends somehow with the husbands yelling at each other, which is a conversation I guess one could have, but I probably won't. I mean, you know, Justin was activated. God bless. I'm very into Lisa Barlow being activated. I'm much less enthused with Justin Rose being activated. And I absolutely just forgot his last name and had to think for a second. But of course, it's Whitney Rose, Wild Rose Beauty. What a delight that was. It truly, there were moments of high drama, moments where I was like, God, this Mary, the Mary we're seeing this season, I've never seen before. Like she, it feels right. And then she fucks up. And then I'm like, yep, there's old Mary there. But we're doing this fun fusion combo right now where it does work for the show and she can still be flat wrong at points. And then at other points, like completely spot on. There's something about the cast of this show right now. First off, Maylee, I believe is her name. I don't know why she keeps getting a lower third. Have we ever heard her speak? She's giving background, but production wants to pay her respect. And I love that journey for her, but maybe we're getting more of her in the second half. I feel like I don't really remember her being a part of this, but Brittany is giving such overwhelming friend of energy, but also lost in her own cause stuff and is activating other cast members because she's blaming them for her mistakes in such a way that I'm like captivated by it. I don't know. Brittany, it's like she is sort of human cringe. It is to me very awkward. Again, another frustrating moment, frustrating to watch her refuse to understand that Jared, nobody's favorite jeweler, I think, is truly not interested in being with her. Because if he was, this is the book. Anybody remember the book from 6 to 8 months ago? He's just not that into you. You know, that was just a hot second ago that book came out. I feel like Brittany could receive that book, see the cover and be like, oh yeah, ... except for my guy. He definitely is. He just has a difficult way of communicating it. It's so wild to see. This is the thing about watching Housewives. Is there are, can you tell I'm like kind of activated from watching that? Like there are points where it's like you're watching escapism, you're watching Money, Glitter, whatever, people acting at points incredibly Looney Tunes. And then there are these moments where you see people and you're like, you know what? Regardless of what's in their bank account versus mine, I know that I would not make the choices that this person is making, or I remember making the choices that this person is making and I'm not making them anymore. And now I feel like the power structure has changed in some way. This can also happen if like your fave and your arch nemesis trigger a housewife or getting into battles too, where it becomes this outsider kind of mind game of like, regardless of what it appears that this person has, I know I have more because of maybe control of behavior or choices that I've made. That's the quandary with Brittany, because I do feel a lot of empathy for her. I really do. But at a certain point, I mean, we're only a couple episodes in with Brittany, with poor sweet Brittany. I feel like I can't imagine what filming with her is like. The way that all of the women at one point were raising their heads being like, please don't discuss this man ever again. Like, I'm truly tapping out. I would be tapping out of the Britney saga probably minutes in. It might give me some sort of curiosity or whatever, because speaking of power dynamics, if the audience might feel a certain way about Britney and the choices she's making, I can't imagine what members of the cast are thinking. I mean, Lisa Barlow, Britney owes Lisa Barlow a life coach copay. Do I think she's going to get it? Probably not. But there is something to be said for Lisa Barlow being succinct AF and just repeatedly saying, he's treating you like a piece of shit. I'm not going to apologize for calling it out. Like, Britney made so many unfortunate decisions. And hopefully at some stage of her life, maybe she can, or not, she's choosing not to believe this, I guess, at some stage of her life, realize that like the choices that she's making in her behaviors are actual choices. She's choosing to stay in this weird, toxic, incredibly uncomfortable dynamic because either it's still attention that she's looking for, she really truly does not know what an organic, healthy relationship looks like. She's not interested in one. Because to really be interested in finding a potential partner, which it seems like she's at least telling us she wants that, in order to do that, you have to be able to say no. You cannot shapeshift yourself into a fucking human pretzel to contort Jared into a better man than he is and leave that anything else but incredibly exhausted. He will take all of the energy out of you and not care because he's just not that into you. He might not, and that's not like he's just not that into you, but maybe he's into the brow lady. I don't think he's really into anyone but himself, but that's also, if I was Britney, really not my responsibility. And the end of the most recent episode with Britney crying when he walks in the door, which was so depressing, for her to keep up this mask of like, I just really want to keep him in my life because I'm mad at Lisa Barlow because I might lose him as a friend. He's not being a friend to you right now while he's inside of you. So why would you think in the outside world when you're no longer stooping, he would treat you better than he is now? Doesn't he have a vested interest now? Because you guys are like physically, sexually intimate to be 0.001% emotionally intimate as well. And you're pretending it's because he wants to keep things private. Does a man who willingly shows up alone to a Mob Wives themed, the cash on the cake took me out, to a Mob Wives themed 25th anniversary party. What's the like symbolic thing for 25th anniversary? Is it a subscription to MTV or VH1? I forget what Mob Wives was on, but I really hope that is what, instead of like a box of wood or something, or God forbid a diamond. There's something so fascinating about Britney claiming or listening to and pretending to understand, or God forbid actually understanding, Jared being like, I'm a private guy. It's why I can't respect you. When she knows he wouldn't anyway, and this man is showing up to film because he thinks it's going to be a moment, and he wasn't wrong. It definitely was. And we're crying about that. I would get crying because I feel humiliated. Here's a man showing up who doesn't choose me, but you're crying because you feel this way about him. Why? He's giving you the worst kind of attention. And then in the meetup, in the episode before, she literally says out loud, I want someone that can make me feel safe. This man is manipulative in person, except she's pushing to meet him in person. So make that make sense. He tells her our life should be private. For what reason? I don't know. I don't know what the difference to Jared about being private versus committed is. I'm sure he's hoping she doesn't think of that. She's telling him she wants to feel safe, and also says, when you say you want to feel safe, the dot, dot, dot at the end of the sentence is, and this man will not be able to give me that. So you cannot ask of a man, I mean, quote unquote man, to guy, fella, you cannot ask of this piece of shit. He's tall. I get it. God's gift is length. It's enough. It's enough. He comes off as such a douche. I know that Salt Lake City is small. I'm from Rhode Island, smallest state with the greatest accent. Thank you so much. Give me that Boston and plaid accent anytime and I get the shivers. Okay. It's just how we're made in New England. It's a different kind of love. Okay. But I don't care if there are three guys and we saw two of them in the room. He's never going to give you what you're looking for and what you're trying to settle for. He can't even do that either. If he was being a friend to you, he would probably not show up at the party and steal attention. He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do this public show of what the fuck. If he wanted to be your friend, he would give you a moment, but he doesn't because he's just not that into you in any way. And she says at their weird sit down, I want to feel safe, which he doesn't understand because he truly has never thought of life through the lens of a woman needing to feel safety. He's only thinking of physical safety. He does not understand any other form. I don't know what he understands, but aside from, hey, that brow lady was kind of hot. Let me slide into her DMs. Brittany literally says out loud, he will not mention me on social media. He's still on dating apps. And when he sees a pretty woman, he drops my hand. What? And you think this guy is going to make you feel safe based on what? What does safety for Brittany look like? And I say this as someone who has absolutely contorted myself into weird, fascinating kinds of shapes to make it work with guys who do not appreciate or care about whatever shape-shifting you might do to make their unreasonable behaviors nonsensical, not consistent, and certainly not emotionally safe acts make sense. It's just exhausting. It just takes all of the energy out of the person, energy that you probably need so that you can look at that someone clear-eyed and say, this is not a good fit. If he is still on dating apps and you are asking him to make you feel safe and your version of safety is commitment and he won't even at you on Instagram stories because he's lying to brow people all over yonder about whether or not you guys have ever stooped or seen each other or how you've behaved. You think this is the guy and she's asking him, are you willing to be kind to me? I don't give a fuck what he says. He's telling you he's not. And why won't you be kind to yourself? There's a little bit of a left turn here of like, also, Brittany, you know, when you come up for breath, if you can take a second and look at the people in the room who were actually trying to comfort you, make you feel okay. And then the other people in the room, a couple of blonde mean girls who were laughing at all of this because of the chaos, maybe at some point, or maybe that might have been a bad edit, but who knows? Maybe at some point, Brittany will like catch up to that. That like Lisa's being the best friend to Brittany of anyone in that space. Lisa and Bronwyn are being, I loved Bronwyn. Was it Bronwyn with Brittany at one point being like, do you need a hug? You don't need it. Please don't make me give it to you. Okay, here we go. Oh God. I understood that energy as well. Cause sometimes you're just not a hugger. Okay. It comes and it goes for some of us. It's fleeting. It was very tough to watch. And also, this is the thing that some people don't understand of like Brittany, again, the contortions saying Lisa caused this huge rift because I communicated to Lisa how I was being mistreated and she listened. Maybe Brittany's not used to that. Maybe she has too many yes people in her life or her life is, I don't know, an echo chamber. And the only voice she's listening to is Jared's and he's telling her how great he is and she's nodding. But if you don't want friends to step up and God forbid actually protect you, maybe go too far. Maybe. But I think she wanted someone to do the things she was choosing not to do, which is like telling this man you suck. So to get upset about it after the fact, pretending that that's ruining a toxic man from continuing to exert toxicity over you, God, we should be so lucky to have someone who saves us from ourselves. But also, don't make toasts. Don't bring all these people into your universe in this way, which is, P.S., your job. And also Lisa's. Your job is to tell us what the fuck's going on. Their job is to respond in some way accordingly. If you don't want friends to stick up for you because you can't stick up for yourself, then I guess you need worse friends. And maybe you've had some of those in your corner. And also another version of friendship is like, I'm here, I'm going to support you, you know, like whatever decision you make. But that doesn't appear to be the thing that Brittany wants until she changes her mind because she's so desperate that this man is someone she's going to lose. But he was never there. She never had him. That's why he called her his bestie. He didn't treat her like a friend. He treated her like a fuck buddy. But fuck buddy, I don't know, it's not Twitter old school. It's not like that's too many characters. So we just stuck with buddy. It's tough, man. I don't know. I'm again, he's tall. I get it. Who cares? Like, what else does this man? But the Osmond of it all, it's a curio. I don't, that does nothing for anyone. That's just like a cocktail party moment or just some kind of like starter point of conversation. But you don't have a committed relationship with a last name, do you? Especially if that last name is like, this will never be yours, which is what it appears that Jared is telling her repeatedly. I was fascinated by the fact that Heather was like among the more outspoken about Jared sucking and being a piece of shit. And who was the cheeriest when he entered? Was it because she knew what was coming? Was it because she's just such a big fan of this man? I know that's not it. Heather is having a fascinating edit right now, and I am fucking here for it. I did not imagine, I guess you could imagine Mary going for Heather because we've seen that happen before. And some of Mary's, she's trying, like she's right on some stuff, but then saying, I think someone explained to her maybe, or she saw a headline of what Heather was trying to communicate about body positivity, which is that the universe and industry of body positivity can be inherently toxic. And her, you know, explanation of that, of like, at the end of the day, the idea of thin often triumphs. To say that she lied about her opinion of body positivity, as if to say that she doesn't think that body positivity should exist, is not what Heather was saying. I believe what Heather was saying was like, this whole idea of body positivity, like many areas of world of wellness, is toxic and can be considered potentially a lie. Versus people's experiences IRL, but certainly online. Heather has every right to have that opinion, and I don't think she's wrong, that like the world of body positivity can be inherently fucked. It doesn't mean you shouldn't love your body, but it means that the which bodies are loved and appreciated, and what's the end of the line.
As AGs know, I am spiritually mid-20s plus. And you know who else is? My dear, close, personal best friend and also deity, Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo is actually the reason that Google launched Google Images, because of that infamous Versace dress. And she's still, 20 years later, more sought after than ever before. With skin like hers, it's not a surprise. Love don't cost it a thing. But I don't want to continue to wait for tonight. Whoa. And thanks to JLo Beauty, we can glow right along with her. Get that JLo glow for yourself with JLo Beauty's Deluxe Kit, the one-and-done skincare solution clinically proven to tighten and lift for instant, long-lasting results. And much like my dear best friend, Jen, I absolutely agree. My personal favorite is JLo's Limitless Glow face mask. It is so soothing, easy to apply, cleansed my skin, had the mask on, and truly was having a spa night at home. So if you're tired of trying to crack your own skincare code, try JLo Beauty for 60 days. If you're not completely satisfied, just return the bottles, even if empty, and get your money back. Want that JLo glow? Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls and get a special gift of 4 free masks for listeners of Andy Scrolls. Head to jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls for 4 free masks and free shipping today. That's jlobeauty.com/AndyScrolls. I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improves sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndySgirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndySgirls for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults aged 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, rejoin.com.
Mary, I would look to Mary. Whenever Mary starts talking about like bodies, weight, which seems to be a big focus for her, anything around a person's physical appearance, I kind of tune out because I know it's probably not going to go anywhere. But that doesn't mean she's wrong about other stuff. I think she is acutely aware and perceptive of people's behaviors outside of her own. She cuts to the chase. And so I appreciated her calling out Heather, the body positivity stuff aside. I really appreciated Bronwyn, who I think has settled into herself on this show in a really great way. We had moments of vulnerability with her conversations with Lisa about Gwen and her backstory, her conversations with Gwen. I hopefully will get into that. I was incredibly impressed with the shared vulnerability between them. The way that Gwen was able to communicate the situation, her hurt about the responses of these LOL quote-unquote grandparents, all of this I thought was captured in a way that felt really honest, open, vulnerable. I was genuinely like watching it really impressed and thankful that they both trusted us, I guess. I don't know, trusted each other and were able to share that in front of a filming crew. And this is season one. You know, Gwen is what, 17, 18 years old, something like that. And Bronwyn is, I think she had her when she was 18 or 19, young. So she's less than 40, around 40-ish. I'm really, really impressed. And I feel like, you know, she came out a little strong, I think, at the start of this. And I also think her life is so goddamn colorful, which is great for her. But it is also, it can be a lot. I think the way that she was able to really truly communicate toward the tail end, I think of the most recent episode, because I just watched them both like in a row, full stop, and then immediately ran to the office to record because I was so excited. I think the way that she has really been able to be very perceptive about Heather and nuanced and a really good messenger. She is a pretty good messenger pigeon, I thought, especially with Angie, where she's like, this is what's happening. And also this person is using you. And this isn't great. Like, this kind of friendship isn't great. Bronwyn, Angie, and Mary criticizing Heather was a moment that I was really thankful for, because Heather has gotten away with a lot. I know I compared her momentarily to Brynn on the New York episode. And not to connect those dots further, but like, I think that Heather has done a more successful job, but she's also a very different personality on a very different show. And I think people have kind of given her the benefit of the doubt an awful lot, oftentimes more than she deserves. And this season, thankfully, we have cast members who, regardless of how you feel about this opinion of Heather, are voicing it, not only about her, but to her. And she is not someone who I think has been held accountable. She has been lucky enough to be on a show with Jennifer Shaw for several years. So looking at Heather's behavior and thinking of examples of that being potentially negative or manipulative or toxic, it's going to fall through the cracks because you're first off surrounded by absolutely incredibly colorful personalities, some of whom are louder than others. And also you have a now convicted felon who was giving us spiritual felon behavior for long before she was actually arrested. Oh, God, bring me back to the Sprinter Van days. I might need to rewatch that. That was a moment that we'll never get again. Hopefully, God forbid, we ever get that again. No more. No more criminals. Only the fashion police. But I feel like we can see glimpses of that. Like, I was really appreciative for the criticisms of Heather as someone who is sharing information with Lisa about shit that Angie is saying about her because she's quote unquote, because Heather herself is quote unquote being a good friend, which I don't think is Heather being a good friend. I think it is Heather maybe trying to curry favor, but also stirring the pot. Like, she's trying to bone Carrie, being masked as someone who's being an ally to Lisa, but she's also being quiet in the moment. We don't know what she said after Angie made that comment about Lisa as a parent. It is very apparent, I think, according to Heather and also Angie herself, that what Angie was doing, and I think also Bronwyn, that what Angie was doing in the moment was venting. She went too far, but she was just talking shit because she was mad about Lisa. If Heather herself is acknowledging the fact that, wow, this behavior was really uncharacteristic for Angie, she was having a moment, why would you then share that information with Lisa when you know it's going to hurt her feelings if you know that this person is behaving in a way that's out of character? Like, if something is said during a vent session and this person is speaking uncharacteristic to how they maybe feel about Lisa or how they just communicate about other people, then why are you attributing it directly to her character? Especially when you're acknowledging, like, yeah, this was like a confusing moment. Then shut the fuck up. But also, I get, you know, the layer under the layer of like, she's feeling that her job is stirring shit up, but it is hopefully inorganic to Heather. I don't know that she operates this way in her real life, but this is the life that's being presented to us, the life that we need to unpack. I'm not going to break the fourth wall only to protect her and always give her the benefit of the doubt. That's not the Heather Gay that I'm seeing of recent. I think she's much more manipulative than I perceived her to be the first season. She also might have changed a little bit as the, you know, show has gone on. She's gotten more famous, very, very successful, very, very popular. And that doesn't make her the villain. I just think it makes her complicated and nuanced and sometimes in the wrong. And I'm thankful that there are people in the cast, and it's not just, sometimes with Heather, it feels like the checks and balances is left to the audience of like, did you see that? Did anybody else see that? Is this confusing? Is this concerning? Is the way that she's behaving, is the way that she's behaving not great? Right now, I feel like we don't even need to wait to the reunion. We don't need to wait for social media. We don't need to wait for anything else. We're getting this in real time that she's kind of fucking up. And I don't know if fucking up is too far, but I just really appreciate it. I appreciate the fact that we're seeing conflict that's interesting, that's not just like Lisa's terrible and here's why, because I think we get that a lot. And poor, poor sweet Whitney is doing her level best to make those dreams come true. I don't know entirely what to say about Whitney. I appreciate her confidence. I think sometimes she's right this season. Often she's been wrong. She was really trying to, you know, nail Meredith to the cross, which was a benefit to us because Meredith's confessionals in these two episodes were delightful. I genuinely really, truly appreciated them. Do I think that this fakakta Lisa Meredith and then Lisa Barlow were leaking a photo that they had found or something to bloggers. I don't understand what's happening with the Alibaba Prism of it all. I do think that Lisa was lying when she said to Whitney, I forgot the necklace in the hotel room. The way that Lisa's body changed in that moment, I was like, no, she 100% left it there. And that was delightfully bitchy. I do not think that was an accident. But do I think that Lisa Barlow is like leaking a Google image search to an unnamed Instagram creator that I guess has been unearthed as Dana Wilkie 25,000. Of course it is. Dana Wilkie knows a thing or two about fraud. So if it's somebody trying to pass off jewelry, not like a legal question, but just one of, I don't know, laziness. If you're buying something for like $1.99 and trying to sell it for $9 million. Not great. Not great business strategy there, especially for a jewelry line that's all about like chill and connectiveness. I mean, connect to, I guess, Alibaba.com. I don't even know. I have not had the pleasure or thrill of shopping there. Not that I'm against it. I just don't know it. So I am slightly confused about what it is that they're finding out. I guess they're just finding about whether or not Whitney was trying to pass off some schlock as something better than it was, which certainly does not reflect well on her business practices. Absolutely. And aren't there questions about Justin's or no? That's, we're all good with the MLMs of it all. I don't know. So there was a content creator that may have been Dana Wilkie 25,000. Who was sharing with a podcaster that she had received this information from a member of the cast and were being led to believe that it was, in fact, Viva La Vida, Lisa Barlow. I don't think so. I just don't see that in Lisa. And I believe her by the level of upset that she immediately communicated with Whitney that Whitney is, in fact, passionately wrong. She's just so confidently incorrect. But like, take a moment, because if you were convinced that Meredith did this and it turns out it wasn't Meredith, or we believe it wasn't Meredith, then maybe apply some of that, like taking a second, having a pause to Lisa. And also, how is nobody talking about the fact that like, yeah, it's not great if these images match, but also has anybody really tracked this? Are we just going off of somebody sharing images on an account and people resharing it? Has anybody like done the legwork to even confirm that this is accurate? Is Whitney denying that this is accurate, or is she more focused on who's the person trying to ruin my character? Do I think it was a member of the cast? I really don't. Ask me again if Jen Shah was still here in a godforsaken sliding doors to her, I guess, locked cell version of events where God help us all, Jen Shah was back in the cast. And I think it just came out recently that her sentence got trimmed by, I believe, several months, because whomever is responsible for that is obviously not a Bravoholic. Like, please protect us from this woman on camera, because I do not trust the show. If Andy was interested in having a late stage sit down with her before she reported to camp, do I think that the show will be able to keep their hands off of this woman and like throwing her back into this world? No, I don't. I have no faith in that. So please, keep her around or whatever. Or maybe she'll have grown so much that she won't want to be back on TV. So with the, I guess the closer of the episode is Whitney and Lisa at war. So the TLDR here with that, I'm saying on a long form stream of consciousness podcast, is do I think that Lisa contributed to spreading information about this above talking about it on camera? No, I don't. I don't think she was like passing this off to content creators. Has anybody considered that like Dana Wilkie might not be telling the truth? Has Lisa in real time deputized Sean, her cybersecurity expert? She had on immediate speed dial. An iconic moment. Another iconic moment. Has anybody confirmed if he in fact launched an investigation? I don't even know. Was it Dana Wilkie 25? Whoever the content creator was, I really, truly don't know. Has anybody apologized for this? Or are we all just like blinking and loving the drama, but asking no additional follow-ups. I don't know. My total absolute guess is that Lisa had nothing to do with this. But do I like to watch Lisa being riled up? Yeah, I do. I like that a lot. It's wonderful television. It's a gift to us, to our community. It is a service to this world. It is charity. It is a charitable act when someone says something about Lisa being a liar and she picks up her phone. Did I think she was going to call one of the six lawyers? Yes. When she called Sean, I thought, Sean, do I know that name? Oh my God, new person. Sean, also the name of Angie's husband, a man I did not recognize and actually did think was security by the way that he was just sort of awkwardly standing by the door. He was giving me Sean cybersecurity expert energy. Did anybody see whether or not Sean was holding the phone when Lisa called? I'm not convinced. I don't know. Maybe as a part-time job in addition to being a hairstylist. And if they're has been a more iconic recent throwback photo than the picture of Sean and Angie from 25 years ago, I can't think of it. Like, I know that Halloween is upon us, but if someone could get it together and go as Sean and Angie in the early days of their relationship, I fucking loved it. Angie, a different person entirely, fucking loved it. And I really did think that while the Mob Wives theme was random at best. Number one, I thought everybody looked chic AF. I actually thought, see, this is the problem because like the closet is filled with colorful dresses, gowns, whatever. But goddamn it, is black chic AF. And I live in New York City. But the only time that I'm really like wearing black consistently is when I'm in Europe pretending to be a more elegant person than I naturally am. And then I get compliments from people of like, oh my God, you look amazing. It's just, it's the turtleneck is black. That's the only difference. Still the exact same person. And I'm wearing a black coat. And then I've just magically transformed into a Parisian. I thought everybody looked great. I love the jewelry choices. Like, I know this was supposed to be like kind of a costume look, but honestly, Whitney's never looked better. And I don't trust her with any of her style decisions. But I thought she looked phenomenal. Heather looked everybody looked great. Even Bronwyn's version, certainly not of toned down, but of just like, I guess, mob wife sort of energy. Fucking loved it. Hair looked great. I thought everybody looked wonderful, except Not an except. Everyone looked great, but I didn't think that Maylee fit the theme. She looked fantastic, but I didn't get mob wife energy, but I also don't understand what's happening with her. If she is a true friend of, or she's a cameo plus, I'm assuming she has to be used more in the second half of the season than she is right now. You know, prayers for her, because I want to see her talk more than, hey, how are you? Oh my God, so great. You know, like let's see something else happen in there with her and her husband, whose name is Tall. I don't know his name either. I really couldn't tell you. But I was really here for it, even though I remain ever so slightly befuddled about what the fuck is actually going on with some of this. You know, there were two moments that I think of specifically that involved the Salt Lake City housewives and their kids. Number one, I don't know what's going on with Robert Jr. It seems like he is not in a good space. It appears that he is struggling. I am concerned when I'm watching him communicate with his mom when his quote unquote, because I actually don't know if she's his wife or what's happening there. When she walked in, I was feeling feelings about the two of them going up the stairs where I got nervous for them. I don't know what is going on with him in real time. I don't know what we are supposed to know. I don't know what Mary has communicated. And all of this, I don't know what's happening. All I can say is that I hope he is doing okay. I hope he is doing better. Something, it feels like there's something going on. Mary has kind of talked around it a little bit, but obviously also he is having a gap year right now, I think. And she feels like, you know, I'm glad he's home. I can take care of him. He's safe here. I don't know what safety looks like. I am sure that she's doing, you know, the best job she can to support him, but I don't know what's going on, you know, and stuff. I don't know what's going on. So I'm hopeful that whatever is happening maybe we get more information, maybe we don't, and would respect Mary's privacy, Robert's, if all that is said is like, maybe he's going through some stuff, maybe he's not, but let's not spend a lot of time trying to figure it out on our own, because I think that's a whole different issue that is not necessarily quote unquote safe conversation. What I will say is all of this opening up about Bronwyn and the experience that she had with her, with the father of Gwen from long ago, and that essentially catching up to her because of an incidental moment with Lisa Barlow. It's so wild that this was just an innocuous moment. Lisa B as the bridge, where Lisa saying to her, what did she say? Like, Gwen, you look so much like Gwen. Gwen looks so much like you. Bronwyn saying, oh, LOL, she definitely looks much more, much closer to her father. Let me whip out a photo. And oh my God, Lisa Barlow recognizes the guy because she's good friends with his parents. I mean, listen, am I making a comparison between this gentleman, long ago deceased, between his parents and like Zach's family on The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which I almost always say incorrectly? Do I want to make a great direct comparison there? Like, I don't think I need to, but do I wonder if both of those families go to brunch? It's entirely possible, because there's a connective thread here for like blaming the woman for behaviors that you believe are shameful or toxic. The response that, and this is, I guess, a little bit of like, if you know, you know, if you've watched Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu, but the reaction of Zach, the least likable person in that cast, and that's saying something because Whitney's there, different Whitney, worse Whitney. But it's saying something that his family, in reacting to what should be absurdly obvious, complicated behaviors that he's exhibited, incredibly toxic behaviors that he's exhibited, to put all the blame on his wife, who's unfortunately the one that Zach is like aiming at with a lot of incredibly emotionally manipulative shit, to say that she's the one to blame for all of this because she went on reality TV or she just doesn't deserve him, is a big, big load of bullshit. So to see another version of that with Bronwyn talking about just the experience of being, and again, I forget the actual age, 18, 19 years old. I think it was around 19. You know, she's in her first or second year at BYU. She finds out she's pregnant. She goes with the guy that she's seeing at that point to his family's house, and they lay all of the blame on her because, of course, culturally, it's entirely her fault. She had sex with herself. I'm sure that she was the one that was dictating everything about that. And it doesn't take two to tango. In this universe, it takes apparently exactly one. So for them to blame, shame, pressure her when she's at 19, I'm sure already spiraling, to hear that maybe this guy was like copycatting, mirroring some of that behavior, and to know that they still won't acknowledge her or their grandchild at this point and are now masking their continued toxic energy and behavior, as something better than that, because they don't maybe want to reveal themselves to their family friend Lisa Barlow, is wild. Like them saying out loud, wow, maybe it might be a sign. It might be a sign. It might be a coincidence, but the sign could be step the fuck up and apologize for being pieces of shit for so many years and not acknowledging your grandchild. Now she grows up and they're trying to put her to the goddamn test, a test that no one will ever pass except for possibly, probably their son, who has very, very unfortunately passed away, not taking away from any of the trauma, grief, but you don't get to channel that on an innocent child and believe that that makes everything okay. You don't. Like, I'm appreciative for Bronwyn being honest and saying, you know, it's going to pain me to potentially watch her be close with them, but I'm not going to stop her from developing relationships with family. And for them to text their grandchild, or to text, I don't know if it was directly to Gwen or if it was a text to Bronwyn, but to say something along the lines of like, we are willing to meet with her, but only if she's ready to accept us. Excuse me? AKA, ignore the 19, nearly two decades of silence she's received, where they have abandoned her and her mom. Ignore all of that. Ignore any trauma, frustration, anger that she absolutely deserves to not only have, but communicate and say, you don't, this is what I'm getting from that text. You don't get to discuss why we mistreated your mom, why we mistreated you, abandoned you, which they're still doing to this day. Are we not all watching the same show? They're still doing that. They've just added another box that maybe Gwen will decide to check before they give her the privilege of stuff that she deserves to know. Just examples, pictures of her biological parent that she lost when she was, what, 2 years old? Something around there? Are you kidding me? And you're setting limitations on providing? This is the closest you are going to get to your son. This is your son's child. You don't get to say, I'm grieving my son's memory, so I'm going to continue to torment the extension of him, his daughter. Because what? Your son had sex when he was 19, his girlfriend got pregnant, and you're still ashamed of that? Grow the fuck up. I understand. I'm not in this culture. I'm not in this world. I'm not in this universe. So it's very easy for me to say that. I don't know what my parents would have said if I showed up. I mean, first off, I went to college for musical theater. So they might have been like, how did you find a straight man in your graduating class? And I would have said, honestly, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I really am not quite sure. But I don't know how they would have responded. But their response is not my responsibility. I'm not responsible for whether or not someone is putting shame on me for something that I may or may not have been deeply struggling with at that point. Fuck. Also, for a family that I'm guessing is like relatively conservative, geez. Whew. Oh boy. It turns out that there's certain ideals around values that are not connected with grace or respect or decency. It's how fun that is when it's weaponized to be as strict and malicious as fucking possible. I don't know. I'm curious if they ever actually met up with her. I would be curious to know that. I don't know what I want to happen. I want whatever Gwen wants to happen. And Bronwyn talking about the fact that she hoped, you know, I could be, she said at one point something along the lines of like, I thought I could be so good as a parent that my child won't miss or need her dad, and that I could be enough of her for both of us, and that's not fair, is like mind blowing, so reflective, so nuanced, so important. I'm so thankful that Gwen had this mother as her mom. And I think from what we have seen, Bronwyn did such a fantastic job parenting herself in many ways and also parenting Gwen. And I don't know what's going to happen with this grandparent situation. I don't love the idea that they're not going to step up. It seems very apparent. I don't know how much of that is because of the reality TV angle too. Are they only interested in this because they're afraid they're going to get shit on? Or are they trying to put blocks on this because God forbid a part of this meetup is filmed and they don't want to feel uncomfortable in that moment? I don't know how much of this is dictated through that lens. Like, God forbid a part of this is because they know that this woman that they've ignored and denied existing for two decades, meaning Bronwyn, is now on reality TV. Oh God, what's she gonna say? I also wonder from Lisa Barlow's perspective how interested she is into wading into this. I don't know how close she actually is with the grandparents. I have no idea. Obviously, she saw them and supported them at surely the worst point and worst moment in their lives when they lost their child, which is something I do not wish on anyone. And I give them a lot of, you know, I absolutely, certainly stranger from afar, send like wishes for them to be able to heal. It has also been two decades. And if they are sort of threatening or limiting access to themselves and to memories and documentation of their deceased child for his child until they can make sure that they're not going to be upset by her feelings. Like, that's a crock of fucking shit. That doesn't tell me anything. And again, if they felt like, oh, it's a sign that like Lisa Barlow is connected, wouldn't they themselves have already picked up on this sign? If you know that your family friend is Lisa Barlow, and then at some point you find out that Bronwyn is filming the show, like, had they had an idea that this might happen before they found out? Or maybe they just didn't know that Bronwyn was filming the show and their responses and texts are like catching up to that information. It is fucking wild. It is a small world in Salt Lake for that, excuse me, for that photo to open up all of this. It's, God, man, I really, genuinely feel for Bronwyn and Gwen in this. But I also kind of wonder with Lisa B, like, are you paying attention? Because people are complicated and like, maybe you don't want to know this about your friends, but it's hard to unknow something when Pandora's box has been opened. And it's not just about, oh my God, this was, you know, Gwen's father. This is, I know, you know, the grandparents. It's not enough just to be like, wow, you know, the bridge is connected. Are you still going to walk to their side? Like, now you know how they treated Bronwyn. Are they communicating any regret to you? And they're just filled with whatever ego, defensiveness, concern, fear that they won't take accountability for their behavior. We haven't heard their perspective. I don't think we will. I'm pretty sure we won't. But we haven't, unless Lisa's carrying it with her to the reunion, which I doubt she would do. And I don't know that I would want to see her do it. But we don't have their perspective on this, but there's a lot that's just genuinely unforgivable regardless. Them feeling a certain way, which sounds like had happened with toxic behaviors toward Bronwyn before their son passed away. Bronwyn's talking herself about her parents not being thrilled, her father having a leadership position at his church. Like, she dealt with a lot as a result of this. And it is, there was one point where she was breaking down saying something along the lines of like, it's really hard that like the best thing I've ever done, raising this child, being so lucky to have her as my child, is the thing that people judge me for, try to shame me about. I cannot imagine that experience. I really can't imagine it. I just feel a lot of empathy for her in that moment, because I just can't imagine how tough it is. And also really shocking that this would happen with a fellow member of the cast. And also, it's just one of those, this would never have happened except when Lisa said, "You, Gwen looks so much like you," to just think, well, this is the only photo I have of him, but I have access to it. So I'm going to show it to Lisa in this moment to see, don't you see the similarities here? And to have Lisa recognize that face, it's genuinely wild. It's a genuinely wild moment. I guess speaking of parenting, just noting what it was that Angie actually said of Lisa, there is, I appreciated Lisa sort of not breaking the fourth wall, but working herself around it a little bit when she was talking about the reason it was so upsetting to hear Angie talking shit about her job as a parent, because of the fact that, like, as she said something along the lines of, I'm constantly criticized as a mom by strangers, by, I'm sure, Bravo fans, people on the internet. So how dare my friend stoop to that level? Totally get it. I also think some of this is being lost in translation, because Lisa wasn't criticizing Angie's job as a parent, I don't think, when she was referencing the fact that, like, when Angie wanted to get off the phone, she'd be like, Electra's calling, you know, gotta go make dinner, gotta help her with her homework. That wasn't, to my understanding, Lisa criticizing Angie as a parent. She was just saying, like, you lie sometimes to get out of conversation with me, which I think is funny and possibly accurate. And also, like, Angie, good for you. If you need to get out of a conversation, use what you've got, babe. Like, but the adding on to that, Angie, I don't know if it's because she heard Electra, she heard child, she felt like Lisa went too far in even mentioning that she's a mom or something, that Angie felt like she was being criticized. So through Angie's eyes, if she feels like Lisa's criticizing me as a parent, then I get to criticize her privately off camera until Heather brings it on camera. Do I think she went too far? 100%. Was it an LOL by editors that they made sure to include little poor sweet Henry, who just seems beyond adorable? Both of her kids seem really, really lovely and respectful and great. But Henry, like, playing whatever goddamn video game, Duck Hunt or whatever kids are like in these days, to make sure that's included in the same episode where you find out that Angie's like, yeah, she lets her kid play Mario Brothers 4 or Go-Kart America or something till all hours of the night is, that's something. That's something. Also, the just the like throwaway comment when Henry was talking about like boxing friends, if you're in an argument and Lisa looks at him like, what are you doing? What's happening? Just LOLs, LOLs, chuckles across the board. And obviously the episode ending with, I think, Angie and Heather at odds in some way. I mean, obviously the big moment was Whitney and Lisa. But I am curious how the Heather, Angie of it all, Heather, Lisa, maybe of it all, Heather, several people, Bronwyn, Mary, how that will continue. Because I do think that that is legitimately entertaining to watch. Oh, God. Salt Lake is giving us so much. I really thought I was going to catch up to Orange County first because I am jumping at the bit to see what the fuck has happened in the last 2 weeks. But I'm really glad that because Salt Lake City is new tonight, this drops tomorrow, aka Wednesday, I wanted to not be behind that much. So I wanted to do a catch up the day that a new episode is dropping. And it just so happens Salt Lake City first, then Orange County. But I am fucking dying to watch OC. So I'm very excited that's next on my plate. And I was talking to a friend of the pod, sweet baby Dill, Dylan Hafer, who says that like Potomac is a joy and a delight and so much fun. So I will hop to it with Potomac just as soon as I am done with Orange County and really excited for it. And is New York sticking out like a sore thumb? I guess, but also, you know what's nice is we don't need a lot from New York right now. Isn't that nice? So much of expectations and stress, I think, were about like, we need this show to continue to be great. Would it be great if it was? Of course it was. I'm not talking, you know, I'm not saying that this season is having a better, that the franchise is having a better season than it is. But I am saying we don't need it to be as, I think, we don't need it to be as great as we would if Salt Lake wasn't having a great season, Orange County wasn't having a great season, Potomac wasn't having what promises to be a good season. Like, we're in a good spot right now, I think, probably, possibly. Speaking of good spots, so many trailers have come out. And so I will be doing, because I haven't seen a single second of the three that as of now are out, Southern Charm, Beverly Hills Housewives, Married to Med. Why did I add Housewives to that? Was there another Beverly Hills? 90210. They're reviving it again on Bravo. So I do a thing on Patreon, a live reaction, where I, spoiler alert, watch the trailers live and react to them. So that is coming this week on the AG page, as well as a Reading Rainbow episode, because Dina Manzo's daughter, Lexi put up a blog post where she talked about Tommy Manzo being sentenced to jail and how that has impacted her family, and also how a lack of support from the Manzos has impacted her family. And I want to do a Reading Rainbow episode on the AG page where I really get into that blog post and talk about it. So both of those episodes coming out this week on the AG Patreon, number one way to support the pod. You get those exclusive bonus episodes at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. So excited to get your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Housewives, Bravo, yada yada and more. Speaking of yada yada and more, if you go to my Instagram at Dame Galley, you can see a little video I put up of the just one reason in particular, of which there are in fact millions, of why I am going to be voting for Kamala Harris this coming Tuesday. And there are resources in the show notes for this episode to ensure that you are registered to vote and make sure that you have an action plan to vote. This is an incredibly pivotal time. And so I get into more of just sharing just a little story from my life on Instagram, and really, really encourage anyone who is undecided or not, make sure to utilize a right that we have right now to use our vote and continue this fun little democracy social experiment we have in this country of ours. So go to whenweallvote.org for resources. Make sure that you can check your voter registration, come up with an action plan, and certainly continue to talk to your friends of and family about the importance of voting. So listen, in the meantime, Thanks so much for listening to this episode. So thankful for a week of catch-ups. Feels so good to be back. I was about to say back at home, but I've literally been home for years at this point. Years and years. But I'm really thankful to be back and catching up, a true gift. So thanks to all of you for listening and to some of these franchises for being pretty fucking great, because there's nothing better than watching an episode and being truly excited to have a couple thoughts. So hope you are all having a good week, and thanks again for listening for the 15th time, and I will chat with you soon.
Bye-bye.